Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am so glad that you could be here in the studio with me on tonight. As always, I'm excited. To see what direction that the Holy Spirit is going to take us in on tonight. I know what the message is, and I believe that it's going to be a blessing to some of you or all of you. I know it's going to be a blessing to me. If you've been following me for any amount of time, most of these messages is to Coach D. They're love letters from God to Coach D. And I just am transparent enough to share those love letters with you as my Father in heaven shares them with me. Amen. So this is not about I've arrived. It's not about that I always get it right. It's not about that there's not challenges or struggles. By no means am I. By no means is perfection. But man, when I tell you the desire to be in the will of God, the desire to be on one accord, the desire to serve, the desire to be obedient to God for me is it. I desire. You know, some people just don't desire. And I desire. That's my desire. I desire that first and foremost. So anyway, I'm going to get into the message on tonight. So as usual, everything with me. Each week, it really is a journey. It's various journeys. It's various trials and tribulations and different things that I've had to experience. And so I'm going to be transparent. And sometimes I'll be like, am I just too darn transparent? But you know what? I'm going to just keep being transparent because it's going to, if it don't deliver, nobody else is going to deliver me. Amen. So I had got a blow on Monday. You know how we could be believer for something and everything appears that something is getting ready to come to a manifestation and you get all excited and, you know, we thank God and we start, you know, we, like I said, praising in advance and we start praising God and thanking God for this, what we believe is getting ready to manifest and we all excited and then what we thought was going to manifest don't manifest. So, see, I know Coach D is not alone on this because I just had to counsel with someone 4 weeks ago regarding something that they were believing for, but they took a blow. And what they were believing for was delayed. And in the process of the believing and the manifestation was the delay, and the person was really upset and, you know, they were upset and disappointed, you know, and we have a tendency, we keep it real, you know, because we're so holy, we don't want to be, you know, God knows. God knows all things, right? So, you know, because we desire to be holy and be on one accord with God, we would not dare say that we got mad at God because something didn't manifest for us, right? Right. So we would not dare say that, but guess what? Many of us are guilty of that. Mature Christians and baby Christians, many of us are guilty for throwing temper tantrums when things that we were believing for does not manifest. And we have a tendency to get an attitude with God. Like, God, how could you? Or God, why didn't you? Or God, you know. That was my last ditch effort. You know that was my last thought. And I believe the message on tonight is going to address that. I had a blow on Monday that caused me to kind of, you know, that caused me to kind of rebel. You know, it caused me to kind of rebel. And I mean, I didn't do nothing crazy. Folks, I know you're waiting to hear something exciting. Like, what did she do? No, I didn't do anything crazy, but I had a few days of rebellion. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to communicate with anyone. I didn't want to be around anyone. I was in the flesh, devastated. My cup was empty. I had nothing else to pour. And the glory to God. That even though that thing still hasn't manifested, it doesn't matter because we'll talk about how much we love God and how much we, you know, that if he never do anything else, you know, we'll be just fine. And the reality of it is, will we really be just fine? Well, I realize that even though the thing didn't manifest, I still give God the glory. I'm still going to honor him. I'm still going to give him the glory. I'm still going to desire to be in his perfect will. I'm still going to, you know, desire to be all that he's called me to be, you know, because what that's called is maturity, because you begin to grow and you begin to mature and you begin to, you know, you go through the rebellion, you go through the repentance, and then you come into the realization that this ain't about us. This is not about you, Coach D. This ain't about you getting everything you want, you know. This ain't about things going according to Coach D's plan, but according to God's plan and God's will, not Coach D's plan and Coach D's will. And oftentimes, even things that I thought, oh, my gosh, Lord, how am I going to get through this one? And guess what? He's shown me time after time after time of how he got me through this one. And there's going to be some other this one down the line that's going to come about. And my desire and my prayer is that when those blows come, and they will come, and when they knock the air out of me, and they will knock the air out of me, that I could come up out of with no breath, and whatever the last breath that I have is praising God and thanking God, because my story could be totally different. To me, it's devastating. To me, it may be a blow. But God, what about the person that took a blow that's much greater, you know? And you have to think like that. So today I was studying for, and don't think, this is the thing. When we go through certain things, we have to understand we're in spiritual warfare. So we got to understand that there's spirits attached. So even with my little moment for those 2 days of just shutting down and stuff, see, we got to be careful, because when we do that, we open up the door. We open up the portal for spirits. We open up the portal for spirits to come in and say, yeah, see, look how she acting. Because remember, they can't read our mind. They only go by behavior and what we speak. So now they see, oh, she's devastated. Look how she acting. And then they got a leeway to come in and begin to read more habit. So now what could have been something as simple as us just being able to go to God in prayer about what has happened or what we don't agree with or whatever the case may be. Now we didn't open up a whole nother thing. Now we fighting demons. We fighting demons. And then that takes, you know, and depending on what kind of attachment it is, that could take weeks to get rid of, you know, because it says some things don't leave but with fasting and praying. So some things you got to sit, I mean, it's got to be intentional. You got to go, you've got to shut down, go into fasting and praying to get rid of that thing. Amen. So we got to really be careful. But today, and I say that because Monday, Tuesday, whatever, Wednesday, I'm kind of struggling. But then today, I'm trying to prepare for my show. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling with the aftermath of the blow on Monday. So though I've repented and though I've, you know, got back in the track, you know, because you know how you go through. I was throwing a spiritual temper tantrum. Forget Thursdays. That's maybe my time. Maybe my season has ended. Amen. But so today I'm preparing and I'm getting into the presence of God, but I'm struggling, and I'm keeping it real. I'm struggling, y'all. I done went all the way back to when I first started believing. I'm struggling. I'm trying to study, and I'm nodding. I'm tired. I have this spirit of slumber on me. I just can't seem to stay awake, and I'm reading, and next thing you know, I'm dozing, and I'm trying to stay awake, and I'm trying to be in the presence of God, and I nodded so hard that I almost fell out of my chair. And when I almost fell out of my chair, I looked down, and the book of Jonah was staring me in the face. I love God. Oh, I love my Father. I love how he do what he do when he do it. I really do. And I'm struggling, and I'm trying to stay conscious. And, oh, Lord, I need this word. I need to understand. Lord, you know, what do you want me to speak to your people? And I know it got something to do with whatever took place this week. I know it got something to do with that, Lord. And I just need to get some revelation on it. And I'm trying to hear God and be still so he could show me where to go and what to do. And again, like I said, I dozed off and I nodded so hard that I almost fell. And when I woke, I seen the book of Jonah. So guess what? Without further ado, I'm going to the book of Jonah. I'm going to go to the word of God. And I'm going to the book of Jonah, and I'm going to chapter 4. Now, let me give a little background on Jonah for those of you that, you know, maybe the most you know about Jonah is he got stuck in the belly of a whale. You don't know why he was stuck in the belly of the whale, but you know he was in the belly of the whale. And you know that Jonah was a great kid story when you were a kid growing up in Bible school or or nursery school. They, you know, Noah was a story that was often told, and Jonah was a story that's told. So let me just give you a little bit more history to Jonah. Jonah got into the belly of the whale because Jonah was disobedient and he rebelled. He was given strict instructions during Jonah. Jonah's only, first of all, the book of Jonah's only 4 chapters. Jonah was a prophet. He was a minor prophet. So, you know, in Jonah 1, chapter 1 and 2, it speaks about, you know, it talks about Jonah's rebelling. God had told him to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to go because Nineveh was like Compton. Or Nineveh was like Detroit. Or Nineveh was like Chicago. So Nineveh just had some bad actors. And Jonah didn't want to go. Jonah was just, Lord, just take them out like Sodom and Gomorrah, get rid of them. Why are you sending me there? Why I got to go? Just go on and get rid of them. You know, his attitude was, you know, just get rid of them, be done with it. Just don't send me there. So he decided he was going to go another direction and didn't go where God told him to go, the end result. So, again, chapters 1 and 2 is about Jonah's rebellion, and it was also about Jonah's, the consequences of Jonah's rebellion. And then when you get into chapter 3, it gets more into Jonah's repentance and the consequences, what happened upon his repentance. And then we get into 4. And I'm going to read chapter 4 because it's very short. I think chapter 4 only has something like 11 verses. I'm going to read them, and then we're going to expound on them. So, again, we're going to go to Jonah chapter 4. And, again, I'm reading out of the Message. Please read out of King James after the show if you want to read Jonah, the 4th chapter. I'm reading out the Message because I really want everybody to get it. Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God. God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. So, God, if you won't kill them, kill me. I'm better off dead than dealing with all of this. God said, what do you have to be angry about, Jonah? But Jonah just left. He went out of the city to the east and sat down in the soak. He put together a makeshift shelter of leafy branches and sat there in the shade to see what would happen to the city. God arranged for a broadleaf tree to spring up. It grew over Jonah to cool him off and get him out of his angry soak. Jonah was pleased and enjoyed the shade. Life was looking up. But then God sent a worm by dawn of the next day. The worm had bored into the shade tree and it withered away. The sun came up and God sent a hot, blistering wind from the east. The sun beat down on Jonah's head, and he started to faint. He prayed to die. I'd be better off dead. Then God said to Jonah, what right do you have to get angry about this shade tree? Jonah said, plenty of right. It made me angry enough to die. God said, how is it that you can change your feelings from pleasure to anger overnight about a mere shade tree that you did nothing to get? You neither planted nor watered it. It grew up one night and it died the next. So why can't I likewise change what I feel about Nineveh from anger to pleasure? This big city of more than 120,000 childlike people who don't yet know right from wrong, to say nothing of all the innocent animals. Father, we thank you for this message that you would deliver on tonight. Lord, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for truly you are worthy, Father. Father, we thank you that you are faithful in and out of season. And Father, we thank you that you reign on the just and the unjust. So, Lord, we thank you for the message that will birth out of this on tonight. And, Lord, we just promise to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. What a message. What a message, Jonah 4, and how the message came about. Now, if you're just tuning in, I was sharing my week and how my week went and how difficult it was. And I was sharing that, you know, that I was struggling this evening trying to get prepared for tonight's show. I knew that the message was going in a certain direction, but I had no clue of where God was going to take me scripturally or anything. And in my struggle, I kind of dozed off. And when I came back to consciousness, Jonah 4 was sitting on my lap. So we just read from Jonah 4, and man, this spoke so many things to me, because I don't know about you all, but I know that I've been Jonah. I've been Jonah. I could think of things that God may have told me to do, or told me how to do something, or told me not to do something, and I did it the way Denise wanted to do it, and, you know, and then it didn't work according to plan, you know, and then I get, or either God might have told me to do something and I did it and it didn't go the way I thought it was supposed to go, but God is the one who told me to do it, but it didn't go the way I thought it would go, then I'm mad and I'm angry and I'm like, I'm done. I ain't doing no more Thursday shows, Father. I mean, at this point, my cup is empty. My cup is empty. I don't have nothing else to pour out. I done poured out all I could pour out, and I'm going on and on. And man, if that don't sound like Jonah. If that don't sound like Jonah. And so if nobody else get the message on tonight, I received the message, and I've adjusted accordingly. But Jonah was, he was just set. Now, here he is, a prophet. Who made him a prophet? God made him a prophet, right? So he didn't become a prophet on his own accord. God made him a prophet. And then he's a servant. That means he's a servant of God. So you're a servant of God, but then when God tells you to do something, you're going to do what you want to do versus what God tells you to do. You see, that didn't work. It landed you into a dark, wet place. You know, it landed you somewhere. And then you had to sit back and think for 3 days. You had to sit back and think about your rebellion. You had to think about not being obedient and doing what God told you to do, which landed you where you're at. And now, okay, so finally, you then came to your senses. You realized that you were wrong. You realized you was disobedient, and now you repent. Now you repent. You go on and do what God had told you to do in the first place. You would have been there and you would have been there and back in the comforts of your home or wherever else you wanted to go if you would have just did what he told you to do in the first place. But yet and still, you found yourself in a dark time of the soul, miserable, ready to just give up and die because you didn't want to be obedient to the God you serve. We go through that. See, we may not end up in the belly of a whale. But if you think the metaphor of that, just imagine being in a belly of a whale. This whale is down in the ocean. So you're in the belly of a whale. It's dark. It's gloomy. It's wet. It's stinky. And you left down there. And for days, all you have time to do is think. And I'm sure that it wasn't just I'm sitting there thinking. I would be willing to guarantee that he was praying and pleading and begging God and asking for forgiveness. And, Lord, if you just get me out this time, I'll do what you tell me to do. I promise you, Lord, this time I'll be obedient. I promise you, Lord, this time. I promise you, Lord, this time. If you just get me out of this situation, I promise you, Lord. How many of us have been there? I mean, I can see virtual hands raising. I don't care what your title is. None of us have been exempt. If we tell the truth, we didn't been there. We didn't have those. We didn't have the Jonah spirit. We've had those Jonah experiences, and it wasn't until we repent that, of course, God steps in and he could turn the situation around. And what the enemy meant for bad, God could turn around for good. The good was is that Jonah ended up making it to Nineveh. He ended up giving the word that God had gave him. To give to the people of Nineveh. And you know what? And the thing about it is when he gave that word, that was a word that they needed. Because according to scriptures, once they got that word, it looks like people's heart began to change. They, you know, people started turning towards God. But even in Jonah, he didn't learn from his lesson. He didn't learn from falling, you know, being in the belly of the whale. He didn't learn from being rebellious. Why I say that? Why you say that, Coach D? Because it looks like you go on in three, and then we look at four. Let's, you know, just focus on four. He was still murmuring and complaining. He was mad. Now he's mad at God because God won't destroy Nineveh. So now he's going to tell God, well, you know what, God? I mean, you might as well just go on and kill me. You might, Lord, just take me. You know, maybe we don't sound like Jonah and say, Lord, just go ahead and kill me. But how many of us said, Lord, you can just take me home today? I can't take no more of this. I'm tired, Lord. You can just take me home. I'll be okay. We better be careful what we ask for. We better be careful what we ask for, because I don't know about you all, but I know, you know, this ain't an easy place to be, this thing called earth. I guarantee you, for me, Lord, don't take me yet. I still got some stuff I need to get right. I still got some stuff that you called me to do that I haven't done. And when you take me, Father God, my prayers is that I'll be completely empty of me, completely empty of everything that you put in me, that your purpose was supposed to come out of me. I want to be completely empty when he calls me. But oftentimes we get upset and we're like, Lord, you know what? If you call me on tomorrow, I'm good. You know, I'm tired of this place. You know, I'm tired of people. I'm tired of this place. I'm tired of the struggles. I'm tired of going through. And we always say we're tired, 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 much like Jonah. And Jonah was still talking about he was tired. And I love God's response, because God's patience with us is remarkable. I can't even come up with a word. His patience with us is just kind and it's gentle, because Jonah was just hard-headed. And God could have just easily smite Jonah, could have easily taken Jonah out of here, and yet he was still trying to be patient with Jonah. You know, even with Jonah throwing his spiritual temper tantrum and walking out the city, and I'm pissed off now. I ain't talking to nobody. I'm just going to go sit up under this tree. Does that sound like anybody? Can anybody relate to this story, you know? So he's going to just go sit up under this tree. And God is, and guess what? Even with his bad attitude, even with him complaining and murmuring and being disobedient and all that other stuff, God's still talking with Jonah. God's still asking him questions. God is still trying to reason with him. God is still trying to reason with Jonah. Jonah, then God even protected Jonah. Jonah's sitting out there in that hot sun, you know, and he's sitting out there. And God loved Jonah so much that he's going to just cause a tree to spring up and provide shelter and shade for Jonah. Jonah didn't cause that. God caused that. Now, whether Jonah was aware that God caused that or he wasn't aware that God caused that, God caused it. And then when God took it away, guess what? Now Jonah mad. He mad again now. And God is telling him, how you going to get mad about something that wasn't even yours? And how many of us do that? God give us something and then God take it away, but we don't even recognize that it's God taking it away from us. That's what we start doing, blaming everything on the devil. Ooh, the enemy busy. Ooh, the enemy this, enemy that. No, maybe it was just God. Maybe God was trying to get your attention. Maybe, you know, maybe God realized, man, she not ready for this. He not ready for this. So I'm going to take it away. Now, some things ain't God. Some things that we get in our lives or we get involved in, it's not God. It wasn't the will of God for our lives. And yet, you know, it's not God's will, but we willed it in our own lives. You know, and then we want to say it was God, but it wasn't God in the first place. We did it our own self. Many of us have taken positions that wasn't the will of God, but that's just what we wanted. So because we wanted it and we got it, now we want to say, well, God blessed me with it. But then that thing turned out to be a curse. Now we want to blame the devil. But the thing was is that it was a curse in the beginning anyway. We get in relationships. We get in marriages. You know, we do so much. You know, some of us are walking, some people are walking around as single parents. Now, and some of those ones just, I asked again and got pregnant. Some people have literally planned to be a single parent. And now they're in a single parent household trying to raise a child by themselves, and they're wondering why they're struggling. You got people that's in relationships, and they're struggling in their relationship, all kind of trust issues, all kind of other stuff, and they praying and wanting God to bless it, but then they out of the will of God. They're not even married, but they're living together. Now, if this stuff on anybody's toes, you know what? I could say I'm sorry that's stepping on your toes, but this is not, Coach D didn't write the Bible. I'm just a recipient. And so the same words, the same rules, the same commandments that go for you and the rest of the world go for Coach D too. And when we're not in alignment and in order with God, guess what? We're not. It's sin. It's out of order. And then we want God to bless it. And God's not going to bless our mess when we're not in order with him. You know? And just because your life is good or is perceived to be good, don't think just because it's good, God is okay with it. Because God's grace may be just enough that's keeping you from the damnation of your choices and your situation. God's grace may just be keeping you. And people say, well, you know, how long does... We don't know. You don't know when that umbrella of grace is going to be moved from you. We don't know that. So what I say to that is don't take for granted God's grace. If you're in situations and circumstances, now is the time to get it right. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to, to take advantage, not take for granted, but take advantage of God's grace while you still can, because there may come a time that you can't. You know, there may come a time that you can't repent. There may come a time that you don't have the opportunity to get it right, to make a better choice. And people say, well, you know, God knows, God knows who we are. We're human. He knows we got these kind of emotions and these feelings and this and that. Absolutely. But that's not an excuse, because what he's saying is, I left you with something. When you accepted me, when you gave your life to me, when you became born again as a believer and you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart and you've been baptized by water, then you become baptized by his spirit. What does that mean, Coach G? That means God's Holy Spirit is living in you. He's been left to you to be, so that he can navigate you through life. What do you mean, Coach G? So what that means is that the sin that we couldn't do nothing about before, God is saying, I gave you a way to deal with that sin. Will it make you perfect? No. Does it mean that you won't sin? No, that's not what he said. But what he's saying is, I gave you the tools and the resources to work on that thing. I gave you the tools and the resources so that that thing doesn't have to become your lifestyle. It doesn't have to overtake you. It doesn't have to dictate your life. It doesn't have to control you. You got control over it. And when you don't have control over it in 9 times out of 10 is because you didn't want to control it. Why? Because the flesh like what the flesh likes. The flesh, if it feel good, the flesh like it. The flesh does not know the things of the spirit, and the spirit does not know the things of the flesh. When the flesh, if it feels good to the flesh is going to do it, even at its detriment. How do you know that? I'm going to give you some examples of the flesh. The flesh might like to drink. So the flesh gets you out, and you go out, and you have a bunch of drinks because the flesh likes to drink. Why? Because it makes you feel good. Or the sex, or the flesh likes to do drugs. Why? Because it makes you feel good. Or the flesh want to have sex. Why? Because it feels good. So you out here and you enjoying and you having drinks and you feeling good and you having a good time. The flesh is having a good time. That same flesh don't care nothing about you, because that same flesh would allow you to get in your car, turn the keys on, and drive home drunk. And even in your foolishness, and even in your unconsciousness and your foolishness, God's grace got you, many of you, home. Now, some people had to deal with the consequences of that situation. Some people that got pulled over and got DUIs. Some people that got so sick that they was on the side of the road. You know, whatever the case. But in many cases, people could probably testify, man, I thank God for his grace that I made it home safely. That was foolish. See, the spirit got you home by God's grace, not your flesh, because your flesh didn't care about you. Your flesh will put you in the car and then tell you, I'm sleepy, and we'll go to sleep while you drive it on the freeway. And you wake up to the jaws of life trying to get you out the car. Why? Because you fell asleep behind the wheel. That's the flesh. That's what the flesh do for us. Because the flesh just want to feel good. If it feel good, that I'm going to do it. If I feel like I want to go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep because that's going to feel good. If I feel like I want to cuss you out, I'm going to cuss you out. Why? Because I'm going to give you a piece of my mind, because it's going to make me feel better. If I want to sleep with you, I don't care if you got a husband. I don't care if you got a wife. I'm just going to sleep with you. Why? Because it's going to make me feel good. Ain't got nothing to do with the spirit. The flesh just does what it do. So the point I'm making here, and Jonah was simply, strictly operate, even being called by God. Perfect example. Even being called by God, and the office of a prophet is an honorable office. That's according to the word of God. And he was called by God. Something about Jonah God trusted. Something about, so God trusted his call in spite of Jonah's humanity. Now, I don't know. You know, I heard people say, Jonah's a prophet and he was called by God, and even though he was Jonah, and Jonah was always operating by his flesh, his feelings, his emotions. We could see that he was, you know, he whatever his emotions was going through, he expressed it, he verbalized it, and yet he was a prophet of God. And what that made me think of is many of us, God has called us. He has called us to something. And some of us may not have matured in some of our carnality. And God's going to hold us accountable. Believe it. Because God's gifts are without repentance. But what he's called me to is what he's called me to. And he's expecting me to be a good steward over what he's called me to. He's expecting you to be a good steward of whatever he called you to. He's expecting for you to be operate in a spirit of integrity. He's expecting, integrity means doing what's right even when no one's looking. He's expecting for you to be a good steward. Now, if you're not a good steward, you're going to be held accountable. Because the judgment day is coming, and you're going to be asked, you're going to be held accountable for whatever you did or whatever you didn't do. We will be. Jonah, he's going to be held accountable, I'm sure. Because God is going to use his gifts. He's going to use his gifts. The only way his gift won't get used through you is if you just blatantly, flat out rebel. I mean, and just say, no, I'm not doing it. I don't want to use these gifts. And generally when that happens for most people, then they're no longer serving God. Not the God that we know, Yahweh. They start serving other gods. And we see it. It's in the earth. There's little g's all in the earth. And then they start serving, they take the gift that God gave them, and they start using it for the kingdom of darkness. Because you can't keep rebellion against God. That's not how God functions. And his word of God says he would turn you over to a reprobate mind. So you can't stay in rebellion with God. You can't, you can't just say, well, I'm just going to be rebellious and do what I want to do and say, still say you're a child of God. No, because if, as a child of God, you got to be obedient to God. And I don't know, you think if you want to look at an analogy of that when you think about your earthly parents and we dealing with our children, you know what I'm saying? And the truth of the matter, I was going to say that, but some parents, it's just not, they don't get it. But I would think for me and my children, if I had children living in my home, they're my children, and I give them rules and regulations to my house, and these are the things they have to do in order to be up under my roof. And then they decide they're going to rebel and they're not going to do what I tell them to do. And they just insist on rebelling. I'm not saying, okay, you made a mistake and stayed out late one night. But I'm saying you're going to insist on rebelling. Well, guess what? Eventually, I'm putting them out of my house. You can't stay here no more. Because you can't stay here and be disrespectful. And you're being disrespectful because you're not following my rules. So if you can't respect my authority, you can't follow my rules, then guess what? You need to get out of my house. And I still love you. I'm always love you. Why? Because you're mine. I'm always love you. I'm going to always be hoping for the best for you. I'm always going to be believing and trusting God for you. I'm not going to give up on you in the sense of not loving you and praying for you and hoping that you come to your senses, like the prodigal son. My prayer would be is that you'll come back, that you'll turn around. But if you don't, you could do whatever you want to do out there. You just can't do whatever you want to do in my home. And I kind of feel like that's what God does with us as his children. These are the rules. These are the regulations. These are the things that you need to do. This is the things that you need to get in order. And if you can't get in order, eventually he turns you over. And then, hey, it's your choice. I'm not making a choice for you. I gave you choices. You're either in or you out. But you got to make a choice because you can't be on the fence. You can't be on the fence. And so Jonah, it only stopped at chapter 4, but I'm sure there was more to Jonah's life. And it would sure have been interesting to read a chapter 8 just to see, did Jonah ever get it right? Did Jonah ever come to the, he went through the rebellion, he went through the repentance, but he would repent and still, he still wanted to do it his way. He still wanted it to be the way he wanted it to be. He wanted God to serve him and do what he wanted God to do versus him doing what God wanted him to do. And that's just who Jonah was. And my thing is that, I wonder if he ever came to a realization. And at the end of the day, the realization of this walk is this. It ain't about us. This, what I do on Thursday, it's not about me. Whatever God's called you to do or he's calling you to do and you've been disobedient, you're not doing, it's not about you. Somebody's life or somebody's soul is dependent on you being obedient to what God's told you to do. So it's not about how you think it should go. It's not about how you want to see it. It's not about what the promises that you're expecting God for. Oh, they didn't manifest. God, your promises didn't manifest. So guess what? I ain't going to do what you want me to do. It's not about you. And when we get to come to the realization that it's not about us, then what we do is when we have our moments, and we will have our moments, because we living in this flesh, we will have our moments. But when we come to the realization that it's not about us, we will have our moments. We will repent and come back into right alignment and continue in the journey that God has set before. And when we realize that God never do another thing. If he never do another thing for Coach D, he done enough. And so whatever will be. And the thing about it is you just trust God. You trust him. You trust God to work things out together for your good. Why? Because you feel you love him. So trust him to work things out together for your good because you love him and because you're called according to his purpose. I know I'm called according to his purpose. I know I love him. So no matter what things appear to be or no matter what they look like, I got to trust that he's working all things together for my good. I got to trust that he's concerned about everything that concerns me. And that's sometimes easier said than done, but we just got to trust him that he's working things together in our lives. And we got to know that we're going to have moments where we take a blow and maybe that blow knocks us down. You know, I thought about it, as I said that, I don't know if anybody watched the fight a couple of weeks ago with Spence and can't think of the other gentleman's name. But boy, poor Spence. Spence took a beat down. He really did. But you know, and even in all that, he did maintain a good attitude. He really did. He maintained a good attitude even though his face was beaten up, you know. But life can sometimes just beat us and take us down. But it's up to us to keep a good attitude, knowing that this won't last always, that this too shall come. Father, we want to thank you for sharing with us the story of Jonah, Father. And Father God, helping us to realize that this journey really is not about us. But Father God, it's about your glory. Father God, it's about souls being saved. It's about people coming into the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So Lord, we just thank you that you're willing to work with us like you was willing to work with Jonah, like you've been willing to work with the Abrahams and the Moses and the Isaacs and the Davids. And Father God, you've just been patient with your children. And Father, we pray that you would continue to be patient with us as we stumble our way through this journey, Father, in a desire to get in alignment and be right with you. Father God, that you will get the glory in our lives in everything that we say and do. But Father, we just say thank you on tonight. Thank you, Father, for your patience. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness and your favor, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that it has helped you kind of get your priorities back straight, get your thinking process back in order, realizing that that it really isn't about us, that this journey is about God if you're choosing to serve him. You know, it's not about what we want all the time. You know, I just thank God that a lot of the things that I wanted that I got, you know, some of the things I wanted that I got that I really shouldn't have got and I really didn't need. And it might not turn out to be what I thought it was going to be, but I just thank God for every blessing. I thank him for continuing to bless me. And I thank him because he's amazing. And even when I don't deserve it, he's been faithful. So I pray that that you'll have some moments in the weeks and the days to come that you will just be able to just give God all the honor and the praise, and you'll be able to have a testimony of God's goodness in your life. Again, thank you for tuning in tonight. I look forward to being with you all on next week. Know that you are loved and appreciated. Good night.